Gospel of John. We've been taking a journey through John's Gospel, and this morning we're on chapter 4 of that Gospel. It's actually going to be a three-year journey during our summer series, and this year we'll go to about chapter 10, but today I get the pleasure of teaching you about the woman at the well. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, but in the Gospel of John, it's broken down into two areas. One, it's the seven signs that Jesus did. So John records seven different signs or miracles. We've already saw the sign of the water being turned into wine at Cana. We saw the healing of the nobleman's son. And then last week, or this next week, we'll talk about the healing of the paralytic. There's also seven discourses. We've talked about very first, new birth into life. Pastor Jay talked about that. Well, today, the second discourse of the seven is this, water of life. Jesus is the water of life. So John does a good job of telling a narrative. And so this morning, we're just going to read down through about the first 10 verses of John chapter 4. And I'm going to let John tell his narrative this morning. So John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Let's read that this morning. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. So what's going on in verse 1 through 3 is the Pharisees are not liking what they're seeing with Jesus. And so they're about to confront him in Jerusalem. And Jesus knows that the time is not ready for the confrontation that's going to take place. And so he feels this pressure. And so he leaves Jerusalem and he goes from Judea to Galilee. So he's returning back to Galilee because the Pharisees are about to confront him. In John chapter 4, verse 4, we're going to continue reading. And it says, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, this was not customary for Jews to travel through Samaria. Samaria was the shortest route from Judea to Galilee. You actually, if you drew a straight line, you actually had to go through Samaria to get there. But most Jews, what they did is they would go out of the way and go the coastal route to avoid going through Samaria. And here's why, because Jews thought that Samaritans were dirty, they were outcasts, they were a people that were filthy, and Jews really didn't want to be around them. They felt like that if they came in contact with someone from Samaria, that it would actually taint their spiritual walk. And so they avoided Samaria at all costs. And so the fact that we see Jesus even going through Samaria is a really big deal for a Jew, especially a rabbi like Jesus. And so one of the reasons why they thought that Samaritans were so bad is because around 772 BC, during the Babylonian captivity, when the Assyrians came in and the Babylonians came in about 100 years later, one of the things that they did is they took the richest people from the land. So they took them and they exiled them to Babylon, right? Well, the people that they left were the poorest of the poor, the peasants. And so those people began to inbreed with different people around the area. And so that's where we get the Samaritans from, is from the people left behind from the Babylonian captivity. Now, there was a lot of hatred between Samaria and Jews. Here's one of the things that happened. So the Samaritans built a temple in Samaria because Jews would not allow them to worship in Jerusalem, so they built their own temple. The Jews hated this so much that they actually went to Samaria and burned the temple down around 130 BC, burned it to the ground. The Samaritans got so upset about them burning the temple down that they took bones during the Passover and scattered them all around the temple courts in Jerusalem so that they desecrated the temple. So there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of friction between Jews and Samaritans. So here we see Jesus going through Samaria, and the word says he had to go through Samaria. So he went out of his way and went through Samaria. Let's read on in verse 5 through 6. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from the long walk. He sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Now, this is the ancient city of Shechem. This is where Abraham first came. When he came out of Babylon into what we now call the Promised Land, the land that God had promised him, this is the very first place that Abraham stopped. And Abraham actually built an altar here in this ancient city of Shechem, which is now called Sychar. Jacob dug the well that the lady is sitting at. So this well is a very historical well. So Jacob, or Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of the Israelites, actually dug the well that the lady is sitting at. So it's a very sacred place. The word says that, you just read, that Joseph was given some property by his father. Now, you remember Joseph and the coat of many colors, and Joseph is one of the people in charge of the Egyptians. Well, when Joseph dies, they take his bones, they bring them back to Sychar, and they bury them right around the area of Jacob's well. So this is not a place that doesn't have rich history, but it's a place that Jews try to avoid at all costs. Now, here's something that's really neat about Sychar. When Joshua is on his conquest to go into the Promised Land, he stops at Sychar. And remember, a lot of us quote this famous passage over our own home, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," right? That's where Joshua said that at. He said it at Jacob's well, at Sychar. He built an altar there, and he said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So great history that's happening at this place. So verse 7, it says, "Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.'" So we see Jesus' humanity here. "He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refuse to have anything to do with Samaritans." So here we see the friction. She was very surprised that a Jew, much less a Jewish rabbi, was talking to her. So she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And in verse 10 it says, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to now, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." So there we see the second discourse, that he is the living water. Jesus came asking for a drink of water. Now let this soak into your spirit this morning. Jesus came asking for a drink of water, but in return, he gave her so much more. He gave her living water. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus gives living water? That he gives living water that doesn't run out. He gives life to the thirsty soul. He gives life to the person that's in need. If you are thirsty this morning in your spirit, the Lord is here to fill you up. Amen. And he's not going to leave you dry. We're going to finish out this passage of scripture this morning. We're going to skip ahead to verse 39. By the way, this is the longest recorded conversation in the Bible that Jesus had with an individual. So it is the longest recorded conversation. I would encourage you to read this out for yourself today or sometime this week. Read this entire story because it's such a beautiful story. In verse 39, it says, "Many Samaritans from the village believed." Now here's the word "believe" again. That's our whole sermon series, is believe. It appears 98 times in John's gospel, believe. "Many believed in Jesus because the woman had said, 'He told me everything I ever did.' When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear the message and believe. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not just of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves, now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Isn't that a beautiful way that John ends this? We know now that he is the Savior of the world. They themselves, not just the woman, experienced it. This woman gives Jesus a drink. He gives her so much more. He gives her living water. And now she has to go tell people. And so she's going out and sharing her faith that she just came into. And now others believe. Such a beautiful way to end this passage of scripture. The first point I have for you this morning is this. When you let him make you new, everything about you changes. When you allow Jesus to make you new, everything about you changes. I've got some baseball cards and football cards here this morning. These are some of my favorite out of my own personal collection. I have an Emmitt Smith rookie card here. This rookie card is worth about $150. But you know, if this card has one flaw, just one flaw, the value of the card goes to $10. $150 card, but if it's flawed, it's 10 bucks. I've got a Warren Moon rookie card. This card without flaws is $1,775. With a flaw, just one flaw, it goes down to $200. With two flaws, it goes down to 50 bucks. Anybody know who Bo Jackson is? I figured some of you Auburn fans might. Alabama fans know too, right? Wrong way, Bo. Some of you get that. This Bo Jackson, this is his rookie card. It's worth $430 unflawed. If it has one flaw, $44. One of my favorite cards is Barry Sanders' rookie card. It's worth $1,320. One flaw, $103. Just one. Ozzie Smith rookie card. Perfect mint condition, $144,000. What? I'm getting scared. Y'all gonna mug me or something? With one flaw, the value goes from $144,000 to $2,500. With two flaws, it goes down to $450. A card that is worth $144,000, if it has two flaws, it's only valued at $450. Now, we see purity as perfect condition. Our kind of purity means spotless in the past tense and unspoiled in the present tense. God can take people in a used up, played with, out of box condition and make them new again. You see, this card right here, it's got some flaws on it. There is nothing that I can do to revalue this card. There's nothing. I can't make it new again. I can't smooth out the edges that are rough and frayed. But you know what? When Jesus comes into your life, he takes the rough edges. He takes the imperfections. He takes the part of our life that is so messed up and jacked up, and he puts living water on the inside of us, and what was once old is now made new. Come on, you must be born again. He brings value to our lives. When we meet Jesus, look, you don't have to hide your junk. He already knows your junk, right? You don't have to hide it from him because he already knows. He makes all things new, clean, right, loved, cherished, pure. When we let him make us new, everything about us changes. You know, at the end of the age, Jesus tells us in Revelation that he's still going to be doing this new work. In Revelation 21, verse 5 through 6, it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.'" Come on, this morning, he gives life and water to those who are thirsty so that you'll never thirst again. He makes all things new. Isn't that beautiful? He said, "I'm making everything new." Some of you need Jesus to visit your Samaria this morning. Some of you walked into Kingwood Church today, or you're watching online, and you came in with mess and junk and this wad of stuff that's going on the inside of you, but he is here today and he wants to put his finger in your life. I've got a saying that I know is true. You cannot remain unchanged in the presence of a holy God. When holy God enters the equation, everything changes and he changes you. This morning, there's some people that has some things going on in Samaria. And you're sitting on the side of a well, and you're looking down, and you're wondering, man, is this ever going to go away? Is this ever going to go away? Am I ever going to be free of this? Well, today I'm telling you that the one who has the living water is here to give you a drink. Amen? When he comes into your life, everything changes. Number two, when he satisfies your thirst, he will begin to flow out of you. When he satisfies your thirst, he will begin to flow out of you. I wonder why we have this appetite for thirst. Anybody, like, you get thirsty and, like, you just absolutely have to run and get a drink of water? Like, your mouth gets parched and it gets dry, and, man, you know when you need a drink, right? And usually when you get to that point, like, you start feeling thirsty, like, it's too late. You're already starting to dehydrate. And it's an alarm that God put on the inside of you to let you know, hey, I need to go get some water. Well, what if we didn't have that on the inside of us? There'd be a lot of dehydrated people in this world, right? Man, you guys go to the store and you know that soda stares you in the face, right? We know it's bad for us. We know that coffee is bad for us, but how many like live by the coffee pot? Like, man, that thing, like, you never let it go dry. Like, you keep it full all day long, and you just sip and sip and sip. I'm bad about that. If there is a coffee pot in front of me and it has coffee in it, I'm going to drink it. This morning, Mark, I'm sorry, but I stole a Keurig from your office. Because I walked by the Keurig machine and I didn't have a pod, and I was like, man, I want some coffee. So I went into Mark's office and I stole a pod from him. I'll get you back, though. You know, if we didn't have that on the inside of us, we would probably be in bad shape. You know, God's put that same thing in your spirit person, in our spirit man. We know when we're spiritually in need. We know when we're weak. We know when we're down. We know when we need God to fill us up. And today, if you're down and you need God to fill you up, he is here to give you living water. And when he does, it'll start to flow out of you. You know, I got saved around the same time as a guy by the name of Carl Nicholson. Carl's one of my good friends. I wished that I could see Carl every day. He lives in Huntsville, Alabama now, just retired from 20 years in the Army. And when Carl and I first got saved, I can remember, and man, if Uncle Barry knew this then, he probably would have just, he would have wore us out for it. But we would sneak into the church. And we would go behind, we would unlock the sound system in the children's church at the old church, and we would turn the sound system on. Uncle Barry kept his sound system locked up, okay? But we would turn it on, and we would worship and worship and worship and pray and pray. Like, we couldn't get enough of Jesus, right? Because we had came into this new relationship with him, and he gave us living water, and so we couldn't get enough of it. Like, we wanted it more and more and more. Lord, just fill us up, fill us up. I remember praying that, Lord, just fill me up. I remember how passionate I was about knowing Jesus, and I would sneak into the church, and we would just worship and pray. Well, one night on the way home from us worshiping and praying at the church, we'd pass by the BP station. I don't even know what it's called now. Anyway, it's there by Champy's, that little gas station by Champy's on 119. So we're passing by there. We get to the railroad tracks, and Carl goes, hey, turn around. I said, wow, we're going home. And he goes, no, but turn around. Somebody needs Jesus. I was like, where am I going? He goes, I don't know. I just know the Spirit of God is telling me that there's somebody that needs Jesus. So I turn the truck around, and we start going down the highway in the opposite direction. And we get to this gas station. He goes, pull in here. So we pull into the gas station. He goes, park right there on the curb. He said, just start praying. And I go, okay. So I start praying. I don't know what I'm praying for, but I'm praying. And Carl gets out of the truck, and he goes to this guy that's standing on the corner, and he starts ministering to him and praying for him. Well, he ends up leading this guy to the Lord. After that guy received Jesus, he handed him a letter, and it was a suicide note that he had in his pocket. That night, he was going to go commit suicide. But the Father of living water stepped into his life and filled him up. And do you know that until his dying day, he served Jesus? Many of you might know this guy's name was Wes Harrelson. Wes attended Kingwood for many, many years until he moved back to his home state of Louisiana. And I remember being at the assembly in West Monroe and Wes walking in. Hey, man, you didn't know you would see me here, did you? He had moved back home to Louisiana, so surprised. But man, Wes got to experience living water because someone had been filled up with the living water that doesn't dry up. They were obedient to the Lord, and Wes' life was changed from it. When you get a touch of the living water, it starts flowing out of you, and it affects other people as well. When he satisfies your thirst, he'll begin to flow out of you. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty," talking about the water in the well. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up with eternal life." Come on, that's really good news, isn't it? That kind of spiritual experience can happen in our lives on a daily, on a weekly basis if we just let the Spirit of God fill us up. If we'll just pause for a moment and say, "Lord, naturally, I'm weak. I'm a man that has limitations, but Lord, your water is life." When you receive the gift of living water, people will see Jesus in you and around you. Amen. And then number three this morning, when you realize what you've been given, you'll want to give it to other people. Amen. When you realize what you've been given, you'll want to give it to other people. You know, the word gospel actually means good news. It's easy to lose sight of exactly how good the news is sometimes, right? Because we live life and we actually see what's in front of us. We experience what's in front of us. And life has a way sometimes of sucking you dry, like literally sucking your spirit man dry, doesn't it? Doesn't life just stink sometimes? We become so dry at times. But the good news is, that's not the story of Jesus. Jesus is working through our life, just like the woman at the well was sitting there one day. And by the way, she was an outcast because she was a Samaritan. Not only was she a Samaritan outcast, but she also wasn't married and living with another man. And the Lord came out of his way to have an appointment with that lady that day. Do you know that the Lord is willing to go out of his way today to meet you right where you're at? He's willing to go out of his way today to meet you right where you're at. Whatever the circumstances are going on in your life, he wants to give you living water today. In John chapter 4, verse 39, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." Now just think about that for just a minute. She got a touch of the Savior, and she runs off like this crazy woman, and she starts telling everybody that she comes in contact with, "I've met the Messiah. I've met the Savior of the world. I met Jesus. He knew everything about me. He told me everything. He's a prophet. Like, he knows me to the core. Like, nobody else in life has known me." And she's running around Sychar, and she's telling everybody she comes, "You got to come on. Come on. You got to come meet him. Come on. Go see him. He's changed my life." Man, what a picture. It says, "He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because you told us. Now we have heard for ourselves.'" We have our own experience. We met Jesus face to face just like you did. There's some in here this morning. Maybe you need to meet Jesus face to face for the very first time. Maybe you need to meet him again. Maybe you need a touch of the living water this morning Maybe what's going on in your life is so dry, it's got you so depleted that you need the living water this morning. Can I tell you that he's here? That he wants to touch you? He wants to fill you back up? So we took about 60 kids to our summer camp in Panama City this past week. And I watched as these kids during devotion time, like you think about youth kids, like they want to be playing video games, right? They want to be playing at the pool. They want to go to the beach. They want to play volleyball. They want to have fun. But you know, every day they paused and they had a devotion for about 30 minutes. And the kids in my group, they knew they're going to have to answer the questions and be accountable for what they studied. And they learned this method called SOAP. If you don't have a good study method, it's a really good study method. It's called SOAP. You read a scripture, you observe the scripture, how does it apply to your life, and how can I pray about this? It's a really great method to use to study. And so some of these kids, for the very first time, they learn to study the Word of God on their own. They paused for just a moment. They were able to study on their own. And do you know, on the last night, we had praise and worship at the beach. And as we're praying, as we're seeking the Lord on the very last night, do you know the number one prayer request as we were closing the week out? Pastor Jason, I want you to pray that God helps me share with other people what I've experienced. That was their number one request. Because when the living water fills you up, you want to tell other people about it. You want others to experience it. I remember in 1998, I was in New York City. And we had gone there specifically to minister to other people. We're in Washington Square Park. And this guy comes up to me. He's got two guys with him standing on the side. And he says, "Give me all your money." And I don't know what got into me, but I looked this guy in the face. I said, "No!" Like, looking back, I'm going, "You were stupid, dude." I said, "No. I said, I worked too hard for my money. You are not about to mug me. If you want my money, you're going to have to take it from me." He said, "Look, man, just give me $5. Like, that's his next response. The other two guys, they go, "Man," they shove him in the back and they leave and walk off, show me. Like, they just leave him standing there, right? And I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you $5. I was like, "What do you want $5 for?" He's like, "Man, I need to get home. It's cold outside." He said, "My mom's going to be expecting me. I'm trying to get money to get on the subway." And I said, "Well, I'll go buy you a subway ticket." He goes, "Oh, I'm going to come clean with you." That's really not what it is. He said, "I'm hungry. I need $5 to go get me something to eat. I just need a hot dog or something." I said, "Okay, well, I'll go buy you a hot dog." "Man, that's really not what it is. I just need $5 because I want to go buy a joint, okay?" I said, "Okay, now we're at the root here." He started out trying to mug me. I said, "Tell you what, I'm going to give you $5, but first I want you to sit down and listen to me." That guy had been in Rikers Prison, had just gotten out. He had given his life to the Lord while he was in Rikers, and he had turned back to his old ways. He was going around trying to mug people for their money. But Jesus showed up at the well. He thought he needed something natural, but the Lord ended up giving him something spiritual. And he gave him living water. You know, that guy went with us to Brooklyn Tabernacle. We rode the subway and went to Brooklyn Tabernacle that night and worshiped God together. And I watched a guy who had given his life in prison. And Jesus said, wait a minute. "I got to go through Samaria real quick. There's somebody sitting on the edge of a well that needs living water. That's dried up, that's thirsty in this life, that the world has abused them. The world is watering them up and they just want to throw him away. And he's about to go down the same path that he's already gone down before, but not when I give him living water. Not when I give him a drink that he'll never thirst again, because I'm about to change his life. And when I change his life, he's really going to be changed this time." There's some of you here this morning, you need a drink of the living water of God. He's available to give it to you today. Amen. And in just a few moments, our prayer team is going to make their way down. They're going to spread out across the front here. And you know, the Bible says that where there's one, yeah, you can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. There's something about agreeing with somebody in prayer over your situation. And our prayer team is going to be available for you. If you're watching online and you need prayer this morning, all you have to do is drop "I need prayer" in the comment section on Facebook or on YouTube, and somebody will be available to pray with you this morning. We're going to meet the one who gives living water today. Amen. Will you stand with me? $144,000. You know, but if it was really worth $144,000, I wouldn't have just taken it out. It's got some bent corners here. It's a little scuffed up. It is the only rookie card, by the way, of Ozzie Smith. There was no other company. Right now, we have like 15 different companies that'll put out rookie cards on people, but this was the only one available in that day. It's a 1979 Ozzie Smith rookie card. And it's worth about $4,000. About $4,000. But there's nothing that I can do to make it worth $144,000 again. I can't do it. You know, in your life, you have some flaws. You have some rough edges. You got things that you're going through right now. But the one who gives living water and can perfect you is here in this room today. Amen. Let's pray, and we're going to worship the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you so much that the one who gives living water is here today. I thank you, Holy One, that you're here to fill us up, God, that you don't want to leave us exactly how we are, Lord, but you want to perfect us and make you like you are, Lord. I pray that you would come in, Lord, and even as we sing today, God, that people's spirit, man, would get in touch with you, Father, and that you would fill them up today, Father. I thank you so much that you're doing a good work, a new work in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.